Facebook and Twitter have taken down a network of Russian state operatives who they say recruited journalists to write articles critical of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to undermine their support. It's a bit of deja vu. During the 2016 presidential election, Russian operatives used American social media platforms to sow racial discord and discourage Black people from voting. Andre Banks is part of a network trying to fight disinformation that targets Black and brown communities. He's the co-founder of Win Black Palante. Andre joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Andre, your group has been described as an active war room that is fighting against disinformation. How do you do that? What's the process of it? And how do you make sure your information is just as viral and shareable?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we wake up every morning and, you know, like everybody else, we look through our feeds and, you know, try to find out what's going on in the news. But we go one step deeper and we work with a series of partners around the country who are really looking in the deep corners of the internet and trying to figure out where misinformation starts and where it's spreading. So our team looks at that every day, and then we gather together in that war room and we bring together strategists along with designers, people who make videos and other kinds of content. And then we figure out where misinformation is happening and then what we can do about it.
It's almost like you're using the same tactics to make a post viral to share correct information around voting.
That's right. You know, we think about, you know, information and, you know, helping people participate in democracy. It's a real, unfortunately, it's a real fight, but we have to fight on the same terms. And so that means we've got to make content that moves through feeds, that catches people's attention, and that really makes sure that good information can compete with all the bad information that's out there.
What do these campaigns look like? I think listeners hear disinformation tactics, and it's hard to really wrap your head around what we might have personally encountered. What are some examples?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I always say that this isn't something that, you know, is happening far away from us. It's happening on all of our feeds. So a couple of different kinds of things we see a lot. We see bots that are out there that are sort of automated programs that impersonate people and then drive conversation. So what that might look like is, you know, somebody who's really seems to be making a weird argument, a really persistent argument, kind of baiting you into, you know, making a lot of back and forth. Oftentimes that can be a bot, which is actually just a program that's running to force and drive up attention on a particular piece of content. And other things that we see are just people spreading misinformation, you know, things like, you know, wrong dates of election day, saying things, people can do things like texting to vote, which is not something that can happen anywhere. These are all things that are really meant to mislead people and make it more difficult for them to exercise their vote.
Are you seeing any difference between the posts in 2016 and now? In some ways, the racial divide in this country is at an all-time high. You know, this 2020 election is happening on the heels of these massive protests for George Floyd and now Kenosha and Portland. Is this changing what you're seeing?
Absolutely. You know, we think about, you know, misinformation as it relates to this election in the same way that we think about a poll tax or a literacy test. This is in many ways becoming a new barrier that's created in particular for Black and Latino people to exercise our right to vote. And, you know, it's not an accident that as our political power grows in the country, as our numbers grow in the country, also these kinds of attacks focused on our communities also grow. These attacks that make it harder for us to actually express our political power in the voting booth. And, you know, as you said, on the heels of, you know, these national uprisings, one of the biggest misinformation threads that we've seen throughout this year is all kinds of disinformation and outright lies being told about what's actually happening in the streets. So even when you have really peaceful demonstrations that are largely the huge majority of Americans actually support and, you know, believe are moving the country in the right direction, you have hundreds, sometimes thousands of posts talking about violence that doesn't exist, misrepresenting protesters and the people leading those protests. So I think it really is a challenging environment, but one that we have to, you know, push against and make sure that the true stories are being told.
Andre, why are countries, though, like Russia and Iran and China stoking the racial tensions here, specifically targeting Black Americans and Latinos? What's the logic behind this? Who's really benefiting from this?
One thing I always say is the reason that our votes are being targeted is because they really matter. You know, who we vote for, when we show up in big numbers, voters of color, we can swing elections, whether we're talking about, you know, an election for a local school board or who is going to sit in the White House for the next 4 years. So we sometimes undervalue our own vote. And these other people, you know, sitting across an ocean, actually realize that our individual votes could really make a difference about who's in the White House. And, you know, what we saw in 2016 was really clear. You know, Russian operatives in particular were intervening on behalf of Donald Trump. They wanted to see Donald Trump in the White House for any number of reasons. And as a result, Black Americans ended up being the number one target of misinformation in 2016.
You know, though, to that end, there are also these campaigns that are targeting white Americans that use similar divisive tropes. Mm-hmm. Encouraging conspiracy theories against Democrats. Does this have the same effects?
Absolutely. You know, I always say that, you know, our focus it has been on, you know, how this affects voters of color because there's a particular threat there. But for us, you know, if anybody's, if disinformation can stop anybody from voting, if those strategies can go viral for any of our communities, it can go viral for any one community. If it can be Black people, it can be white people. If it can be older people, it can be younger people. And so I think, you know, we each have to look at this from where we're sitting and recognize that, you know, a threat to one is really a threat to all.
There's also a couple of examples of disinformation that we've encountered recently on Facebook. I mean, they've deleted a page using LeBron James's image to spread misinformation about mail-in voting. There's a clear attempt by platforms like Facebook to stay ahead of this, but it has not been enough. What do you want to see them do?
I want to see them do a lot more. There is some attempt now. There is certainly a much greater awareness, but I think what we've seen is like more talking about the problem than activating a solution. So, you know, one of the things that our group does when we sit in that war room is, you know, we identify these bots, we identify these bad actors, and we can find that it can take days, sometimes weeks, and sometimes it never happens to actually get these things taken down. So, you know, in one case, we found a bot that was generating thousands of comments on posts in a matter of hours. So it was obvious that this could not be a human being. And it still took us, you know, many weeks to get this taken down. So I think, you know, these platforms have really an outsized effect on our political conversation. They have an outsized impact on how our political discourse happens. And so they need to put an outsized number of resources toward making sure they're addressing this really, really critical problem that's, you know, often even more insidious than may be obvious on the surface.
You also argue that we fight this with education and gaining literacy about all of this. What are some tips you have for identifying these types of posts?
Yeah, you know, as I said before, this is happening on all of our feeds. We don't have to wait for somebody to come in. We can't outsource, as I like to say, our own political power. We have to make sure that we're, you know, policing these things on our own feeds. And so one thing we ask people to do is just look for the source. You know, when you see something that seems maybe not quite right, or even something that seems like funny, or, you know, that you want to go along with, make sure it's coming from somebody that you know, and not just something that sounds like something official. Do that second click through, find out what that site is. Is it real? Are there a lot of posts there? Are people really making comments? Is this a real news site with, you know, professionals, you know, who are credible giving you information? The other thing that we say a lot is just think about what we share. You know, the way that this spreads isn't just through bots, and it isn't just through foreign agents. It's also through us moving so quickly that we pass on information that are half truths or misrepresentations. And so before we push those things forward, just think about what you're sharing and putting into your network. And last but not least, we try to really be careful about who we're fighting with on the internet. So one of the things that happens with bots in particular is that they bait people into fights with not even, when this isn't even a real conversation with a real person. But what that then does is it drives up the visibility of that post using the algorithm of Facebook or Twitter. So these bots can bait us into these back and forth that really go nowhere, but actually have the impact of spreading misinformation. So before you get into that fight, make sure that it's somebody that's really trying to argue with you around something that's actually real and matters.
That's Andre Banks, co-founder of Win Black Palante, a group fighting disinformation in Black and brown communities. Andre, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you. My pleasure.